Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY21 earnings conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ravi Agarwal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, moderator. Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to the Q4 FY21 results conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. Before we start the call, a review of operations of the company. For the fourth quarter of FY21, Glenmark's consolidated revenues was at rupees 28,599 million, recording an increase of 3.3% year-on-year. For the year ending March 31st, 2021, Glenmark's consolidated revenues was at rupees 109,439 million, recording an increase of 2.8% year-on-year. Our corporate announcement: Glenmark Life Sciences Limited has filed a DRHP with the Securities and Exchange Board of India for a proposed IPO comprising a fresh issue of up to rupees 11,600 million and an offer for sale of up to 7,305,245 equity shares, subject to market conditions, receipt of applicable approvals, and other considerations. On the business, first, the India business. Sales from the formulation business in India for the fourth quarter FY21 was at rupees 8,238 million, recording growth of 7.7% year-on-year. The India business continues to significantly outperform industry growth rates, continuing the trend of the past several years. As per IQVIA data, Glenmark was the fastest-growing company in the industry amongst the top 20 players on a March 2021 basis, with a growth of 13.99% as compared to the Indian pharma market growth of 5.86%. On a quarterly basis, as per IQVIA, the business recorded growth of 8.73% as compared to 8.3% for the market. Glenmark's India formulation business is ranked fourth, and its market share has increased to 2.32% as compared to 2.2% last year as per IQVIA data. In terms of market share, Glenmark's India business further strengthens in its core therapies areas such as cardiac, diabetes, and respiratory. Glenmark's novel patented product and globally researched sodium glucose co-transporter 2 SGLT2 inhibitor, remogliflozin etabonate, indicated for the treatment of type 2 diabetes in adults, continues to do well in India despite launches by multiple companies in the SGLT2 segment, but particularly in dapagliflozin during the year. Furthermore, Glenmark has also witnessed positive response to the launch of remogliflozin plus vildagliptin fixed dose combination under the brand names RemoV and RemoZyn V for adults with type 2 diabetes in India. The brands have been able to garner market share of 37.9% of the SGLT DPP-4 market as per IQVIA Jan-March 2021 data. Glenmark launched Suteb, the generic version of sunitinib oral capsules to treat kidney cancer in India during the quarter. Launched at an extremely affordable price to the innovator brand, the launch underlines Glenmark's commitment to bring targeted and effective medicines at affordable costs in its focus area of oncology. The Glenmark Consumer Care business. The Glenmark Consumer Care business continued its strong performance in the fourth quarter, registering healthy growth rates despite the challenging economic environment, especially in discretionary consumption areas. The business recorded value sales of rupees 582.4 million in the fourth quarter, registering 26% year-on-year growth excluding VWash sales. Candid powder continues to drive growth for this category, recording value sales growth in excess of 30% for the quarter, and is the first brand in the consumer care business to enter the 100 crore club. North America. North America registered revenue from the sale of finished dose formulation of rupees 8,012 million, recording a growth of 5.2% year-on-year. On a quarter-on-quarter basis, the business has recorded growth of 3.7% in USD terms. In FY2021, Glenmark was granted approval of 14 ANDAs comprising of 10 final approvals and 4 tentative approvals. Additionally, Glenmark was granted approval on a prior approval supplement for the 0.25 mg strength of Fingolimod capsule. Notable approvals for the year included sirolimus tablets, tacrolimus capsules, topiramate ER capsules, chlorpromazine hydrochloride tablets, and diltiazem hydrochloride extended release capsules. The company filed a total of 7 NDAs with the FDA in FY21 and plans to file at least 18 to 20 ANDAs in FY22, including 5 to 6 filings which got delayed in FY21 due to the pandemic. These filings would include 4 to 5 filings from the Monroe facility. Glenmark completed the successful launch of 10 new products during FY21, consisting of a mix of semi-solid preparations, delayed and immediate release oral solids, and hormone products. Notable launches included topiramate ER capsules, where Glenmark is the first true generic entrant, and chlorpromazine hydrochloride tablets and diltiazem hydrochloride extended release capsules, both of which secured competitive generic therapy exclusivity periods for the company. Glenmark's marketing portfolio through March 31, 2021 consists of 171 generic products authorized for distribution in the U.S. market. The company currently has 41 applications pending in various stages of the approval process with the FDA, of which 21 are Para 4 applications. Africa, Asia, and CIS. For the fourth quarter of FY2021, revenues from Africa, Asia, and CIS region was at Rs. 3342 million, recording decline of 0.7% year-on-year. The challenging conditions continue to persist in Russia and CIS, primarily due to the pandemic. As per IQVIA and MAT March 21 data, Glenmark Russia recorded value degrowth of 7.7% and degrowth of 12.8% in terms of units. However, we are seeing signs of recovery on a sequential basis. Glenmark Russia ranked overall 52nd in the market, with 11th ranking in the derma segment and 3rd in the expectorant segment. During the quarter, we successfully launched Ryaltris, our global anti-allergy brand in Ukraine and Uzbekistan. Furthermore, we have received regulatory approval to market Ryaltris in Russia, with indications of seasonal and pre-annual allergic rhinitis in patients over 12 years of age. The product will be commercialized in Russia in Q1 FY22. We have also received approval of Ascoril brand extension in Russia, and we look forward to strengthening our respiratory franchise in Russia CIS region over the coming periods. The Asian markets continue to remain under pressure due to the lockdown on account of the pandemic, which has affected the sales in these key markets. The Middle East and Africa region recorded growth as number of markets witnessed signs of recovery due to the easing of lockdown measures. The region recorded primary sales growth of 16% year-on-year during the quarter, with positive growth across major MEA markets like Kenya and Saudi Arabia. Europe. Glenmark's Europe operations for the fourth quarter of FY2021 was at Rs. 4223 million, recording a growth of 2.6% year-on-year. The European business was impacted in the fourth quarter mainly due to the enhanced lockdown measures from the heightened pandemic concerns in most key markets. In Western Europe, while Glenmark continues to increase penetration across major markets, the pandemic measures in key markets like Germany affected overall performance for this business. For the financial year, the European region signed 21 major contracts for in-licensing products in the region. The region is expected to benefit from significant product launches, including products like tiotropium bromide dry powder inhaler and Ryaltris in FY22. The company has a strategic exclusive in-licensing agreement to market tiotropium DPI in Western Europe. Glenmark expects to be one of the first generics for the products in the key markets starting Q1 FY22. In Ryaltris, during Q4, Glenmark submitted response to European agency queries, which enabled Glenmark to conclude the decentralized procedure, paving the way for potential approval of the product and expected launch of Ryaltris in the EU in FY22. Latin America. Glenmark's revenues from its Latin America and Caribbean operations is at Rs. 1299 million, recording degrowth of 26.6%. The pandemic continues to impact the Brazilian business, and the unit once again recorded decline in sales for the quarter as compared to the previous corresponding quarter. The Mexico subsidiary performed relatively better, recording sales growth for the quarter. However, the entire region continues to witness a challenging environment on account of the pandemic. GPL Speciality and Innovative R&D Pipeline, Ryaltris. Priceless Nasal Spray is the company's respiratory pipeline asset and is currently under review with the US FDA as a treatment for seasonal allergic rhinitis in the USA. The Glenmark has response to the agency's CRL is targeted to be submitted to the US FDA shortly. Rightless sales continue to progress well in Australia and South Africa. Glenmark also initiated the commercial launch in Ukraine and Uzbekistan during the quarter. Glenmark and Bosch Health entered into an exclusive licensing agreement for the commercialization of Rialtris in Canada. Rialtris is currently under review by Health Canada. Glenmark completed several regulatory filings for Rialtris in Q4, notably in Egypt, Singapore, Jamaica, Kazakhstan, and Maldives. The company is awaiting regulatory approvals for its filings in various markets across Canada, Brazil, Malaysia, Saudi Arabia, and several other emerging markets. In Q4 FY21, Glenmark's partner in China, Grand Pharma Limited, submitted a revised development and registration strategy for Rialtris in China through a pre-IND application. CD has since provided positive feedback which will enable IND submission in China by mid-FY22. Glenmark is also working with its partner in South Korea, Yuhan Corporation, to submit the pediatric efficacy supplement in FY22, GBR310. Glenmark has announced successful phase 1 results for GBR310 that suggests similarity in pharmacokinetic, pharmacodynamic, safety and immunogenicity profiles between GBR310 and the reference product omalizumab, marketed in the US under the brand name Xolair. The company is in discussions with potential partners and is targeting to conclude a deal before initiating phase 3 studies. GRC39815. GRC39815 is the company's respiratory pipeline asset being developed as an inhaled therapy for treatment of mild to moderate COPD. It is currently under phase 1 clinical development with a single ascending dose study in the US. The phase 1 study is expected to be completed in the next few quarters. GRC17536 is the company's pain pipeline asset being developed as an orally administered treatment for pain in patients with painful diabetic peripheral neuropathy. The formulation PK study was completed during the quarter, and the company is evaluating further options, including out-licensing for the molecule. Glenmark Life Sciences, GLS. For the fourth quarter of FY2021, external sales for GLS was at Rs. 3311 million, recording growth of 26.7% over the corresponding period last year. For the entire year, external sales of GLS recorded a revenue of Rs. 12074 million, recording growth of 17.9% over the corresponding period last year. Ichnos Sciences. Glenmark has invested Rs. 1880 million, which is $26 million, in the fourth quarter of the financial year. Thus, for the entire financial year, Glenmark invested Rs. 7570 million, which is USD 102 million in Ichnos, as compared to Rs. 8190 million, which is 115 million in FY20, which is a decline of 7.6% year-on-year. For further updates on the pipeline and the organization, please log on to www.ichnossciences.com. Some notes before we open for the Q&A. Forex loss for the quarter was at Rs. 5.8 crores, which is recorded in other expenditure. Thus, EBITDA for the operating business was at Rs. 529 crores after adding back the Forex loss. The net Forex loss for the financial year FY21 was at Rs. 75 crores and is present in other expenditure. The gross debt for the period ending 31st March 2021 was at 4687 crores as compared to Rs. 4868 crores as on 31st March 2020, lower by Rs. 181 crores during the year. Net debt for the period ending 31st March 2021 was at Rs. 3549 crores as compared to 3758 crores as on 31st March 2020, lower by 92 crores in the quarter and Rs. 209 crores for the full year. Inventory for the period ending 31st March 2021 was at Rs. 2277 crores as compared to 2136 crores as on 31st March 2020. Receivables for the period ending 31st March 2021 was at Rs. 2572 crores as compared to Rs. 2409 crores as on 31st March 2020. Payables for the period ending 31st March 2021 was at Rs. 2238 crores as compared to 2126 crores as on 31st March 2020. The total asset addition was at Rs. 239 crores in the fourth quarter. For the full year, the total asset addition was at Rs. 767 crores as against rupees 930 crores in FY20. Of this total asset additions, the tangible asset addition for the quarter was at rupees 116 crores for the quarter and rupees 401 crores for FY21. R&D expenditure for the fourth quarter was at rupees 304 crores, which was 10.6% to net sales for the quarter. For FY21, the R&D expenditure was at rupees 1221 crores, which was 11.2% to net sales, as compared to rupees 1352 crores in FY20, which was 12.7% to net sales in the corresponding period. R&D expenditure for Ichnos Sciences for the fourth quarter was rupees 188 crores, and for FY21 was rupees 757 crores. Before we open the floor for Q&A, I would like to introduce the management of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals on the call. We have Mr. Glenn Saldanha, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. V.S. Mani, Executive Director and Global Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Robert Crockart, Chief Commercial Officer. With that, we'd like to open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, moderator.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC Securities. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on Ichnos. Can you provide us update on the capital raise plan? Also, we have seen that there has been some changes in the company, including departure of founder CEO. So any update on Ichnos fundraise plan?
So Ichnos, you know, continues to do exceedingly well in progressing their pipeline forward, right? I think, you know, the two main assets, 1342, we should get a readout very shortly on the POC on 1342. And we have 1442 entering the clinics this year. So those are two main assets for Ichnos, which are moving forward and which should create significant value for GPL, you know, once you get proof of concept and with these two clinical assets. We also have, you know, various ongoing partnering discussions on, you know, two of the immunology assets, which should close during the year. So ISB 880 and 830. And then on the equity side, you know, we continue to look at a capital raise sometime during the course of this year. With regards to the management change, you're right. Alessandro is leaving the organization. However, Ichnos has a very strong management team and leadership team, and we have Dr. Cyril Conto who will take over as the interim CEO.
So for this year, we should be hearing something on the equity raise plan for the Ichnos Sciences, as well as some product-specific or asset-specific monetization plan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You should see partnering for sure, and the capital raise, you know, we continue to work on it. So I think from that, our likely investment in Ichnos will also be lower net of the upfront payments that we'll receive on account of some of the partnerships.
Okay, thank you for your response. And my second question is on U.S. Business. So can you update us on what kind of price erosion now we are having on our portfolio, especially on the derm side, and how we should look the scenario in coming quarters?
Good morning. This is Robert here. Thank you for the question. So on the pricing erosion, it's kind of bottomed out for us. So we see it around the 5 to 6%. And then in the coming quarter, you know, we have at least three new launches, and we see a good recovery as the quarters go by.
Okay, so with pricing bottoming out in derm portfolio also, our overall portfolio price erosion is somewhere in mid-single digit, right?
Exactly, mid-single digit, that's correct.
Okay, and with pickup in launches ahead, pickup in launches will be key driver ahead, and we should broadly assume price erosion in similar single digit range ahead also.
That's correct, exactly.
Okay, thank you for your response. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants. Please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. My first question is on the India business. Obviously, you know, April May would be the increase in volumes because of the COVID second wave. But if you were to look through the rest of the year, given the high base, you could get some color on what was the contribution from the COVID portfolio in FY21, and therefore what could be the growth in the base business as we go ahead.
Good morning again. So I think, first of all, just on your first statement, we've of course had a very good April, right, from due to the COVID product. But just to be clear, that from May onwards, we've seen a dramatic drop, right? So with the pandemic really residing, in May we had a massive drop, and in June, we anticipated to be almost insignificant when we look at the COVID products. Looking forward, even last year and looking at this year, we anticipate still, for our business to operate at least in line or ahead of the market. So really seeing some good, strong performance on our base business.
And what would be the contribution of the COVID portfolio last year, a rough estimate?
It's very difficult for us to split it out, but I think it made a considerable good contribution.
Understood. And my second question is on the other expenses. The other expenses line, seems to have increased quite dramatically, even if I were to adjust it for the FX loss in the quarter. Is this our normalized base? Is there any lumpy expense that is there in the number?
Yeah, this is Mani here. So actually there is a one-off in the sense, during the quarter especially, we have put more inventory to meet the increased businesses in some of the front-end markets. So we had an increase in our freight costs, about 30 crores. Also the CSR expenses were a bit higher with the changing regulations, etc. We had to put about 10-15 crores. Also, historically, if you look at it, our Q4 other expenses are on the higher side. So if you look at the full year, our other expenses are about 25.7, and historically we were about 27-28. So I think we'll trend closer to 27 or so in the current year. So I don't think we can just take a particular quarter and, take it as a, analyze it and do that. It's more appropriate to take the number that I gave you. Yeah.
But is it fair to assume that our SG&A spend in most of our branded market was close to normal in the fourth quarter, even after adjusting for these one-offs?
Yeah, most of the markets, yes. But then, as I told you, there are a couple of one-offs, and also you titrate during the year how you spend. It's not like you look at every quarter and do it that way. So depending on how you want to promote products, how you want to do ahead of time, quarter to quarter there can be some changes. But the best thing is to take on a yearly basis. The year is about 27%. That's what we should take.
Understood. And on lastly, on the R&D spend, then you mentioned that Econos spend would likely trend lower net of any inflows from partnership. Now, since we don't know the inflow, on an absolute basis from the amount that the parent would spend on Econos, would that also go down year on year, or that should remain at this $100 million level that we spent during the year?
Our view is it should range between 90 to 100 million, somewhere thereabouts, for next year. For the current year, and then you net out some partnering income, so it should be significantly lower.
Okay, and in terms of your generic spend, how do you see that changing?
I think overall our R&D spend should be pretty much you know, on an absolute basis should be pretty much in the same ballpark as what we spent in FY21, right, overall, on an absolute basis. So I think, you know, higher sales, obviously as a percent to sales, we expect some improvements coming out of the, at the total EBITDA level because of lower spends.
Yeah, just to add to what Glenn just said, it was about 11% in the current year. We expect it to trend between 10 and 11 for the next year with higher sales.
Understood. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Krish Mehta from Enam Holding. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to ask on the tax guidance for FY22.
Yeah, so basically our tax has been trending at about 29-30%. I mean, I think that's where we'll stay around. So, I mean, also we, and also the more important part is to look at the cash tax. So I think as far as India is concerned, we continue to pay about, you know, MAT 17-18%. We have a large MAT credit. So I think all in all, we should trend about maximum 29-30%, not more than that.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Alanka.
The next question is from the line of Harit Ahmad from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. First one is on the tangible CWIP on your balance sheet at around 1,200 crores. It's been at similar levels for the last few years. So how much of this is related to the new Monroe facility, and if you could give some color around the timelines for commissioning this facility?
Sure. So so one is obviously we have about 120 million still to be capitalized in Monroe. Basically, there were three lines, so the OSD has already been capitalized, about 30-odd million. So the injectable and the nebulizers will get capitalized over the current year and probably sometime in the next year. So I think after that is done, in a year or so, you would find it drop by about 700-odd crores, yeah, 700 to 800 crores.
Okay. And then looking at Ichnos' pipeline of clinical assets, I think we had till last update this candidate ISB 1302, which I believe is missing from our current presentation. So any updates there?
Well, 1302, you know, we've decided to put it on the back burner for now, right? And we prioritized 1342 and 1442, right, as the key assets.
Okay. So was it based on any phase one data that we analyzed recently, or any particular reason for putting this on the
back burner? I mean, it's just to prioritize, you know, the candidates, right? Because, I mean, we are controlling spends, we are doing multiple things, right, in Ichnos. So I think given that, we are just prioritizing 1342 as the lead, right, to validate the bi-specific platform technology, and because we feel just given the likelihood of success is higher, right. So that's the reason the thinking is first to move 1342 forward, get 1442 in the clinics this year, and then come back to some of the other bi-specifics, including 1302.
Okay. The last one is on the consumer care franchise. We've had a 26% growth this quarter. How important an area is this for us going forward, the overall consumer care portfolio? Because we've had a couple of, divestment as well here of the VWash brand. So trying to understand how this fits into a overall domestic
business. Well, how important I think the way to think about it is, you know, if it's part of the therapeutic areas where we are present in, right, we will continue to grow our consumer care business in those areas, right, which is mainly in dermatology, respiratory, these two areas. And that's the way we look at it. I mean, the VWash divestment is because it was non-core to our TAs, which we operate in India.
Okay. Understood. That's all from my side. Thanks.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Alankar Garude from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning everyone. Glenn, how big a setback would Dr. Riva's departure be to Ichnos's pipeline development? I know you talked about the strong management team in place and also the interim CEO, but are we looking to make another high profile hire for this role now?
So I think, Alankar, so Ichnos is built around the platform technology and the assets in Ichnos, right? That have been developed over, I don't know, half a decade at least, right? So it's not, I don't think any individual is solely responsible for Ichnos, the success of Ichnos. That's the first point. As of now, Dr. Cyril Konto will take over as the interim CEO. He comes with a great background. He's you know, worked with Bristol Myers Squibb, Pfizer, Allergan, and had a lot of success there. And we're pretty confident Cyril will continue the Ichnos journey.
Okay, fair enough. My second question is on the API business. What have been the key drivers for this 18% growth in FY21? And how important have sartans been in driving this growth? So both on top line as well as in terms of margins, can you comment on the sustainability of the FY21 performance?
So just to put it, I mean, obviously the full year was about, the external business grew at about 17, I mean almost 18%, and the quarter grew at about 26%. Across all geographies, it has done quite well, okay. And the margins also have been good. But beyond that, since they filed a DRHP and we have a regulatory constraint, it will be not so easy to comment more on that.
Fair enough. And also possible to share any timelines on the IPO?
No, we are still awaiting the regulatory approval. So, that's what's the constraint. So, we'll have to wait. We'll probably be in a better position to answer after all that is done.
Understood. And one final question from my side. Now, we had given a guidance, EBITDA margin guidance of 19-20% in the last quarter for FY22. Now, in context of a strong April and some benefit in May as well in the domestic business, how should we look at margins in FY22?
See, we would like to continue to guide at 19-20%. That is what we at least feel we'll definitely do easily. So, I mean, if we do something better, the upside is there. But we would like to continue to guide at 19-20%.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Vaisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, and good morning, everyone. Excuse me. Just your outlook on the overall sales for fiscal 22, and second is what sort of debt reduction, rather net debt reduction, that you are targeting for this year.
So, Sameer, top line sales, we still believe will grow in excess of around 10-12% top line in 22. So we're expecting a strong year ahead of us. And Q1 has been strong, you know, the back of our Fabiflu sales and multiple other products. As regards the debt reduction, see, the operating business overall consolidated, we will generate free cash of somewhere in the range of 400 plus crores, right? With the GLS IPO likely, that will further delever to the extent of capital that flows to GPL. So I think these are the two aspects that, I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah, sure, absolutely, Glenn. So about roughly 1,000-1,200 is something that you are probably looking at.
So I mean, the GLS IPO numbers were put out, yeah. So,
yeah, there is an induce in that, so about 900 crores or so. So, yeah, all that will add up to reduce, deliver the balance sheet.
Okay, got it. And I know you are constrained to talk too much on the
API upcoming IP, but any qualitative color you can share on the investor interest based on the pre-marketing that you must have done?
No, as of now, because of the regulatory constraints, I cannot say on the investor interest or what is the. So I prefer to wait for that event to happen. I mean, then we can communicate.
Okay. No, I understand. Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Sharda from NG Assets. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Mani. Good morning. Could you just recap for what is the plan for CapEx for FY 2022? And to get on the net debt clearly, you said that 400 crore would be free cash flow. So besides any corporate action, that should be the net debt reduction?
Yeah, definitely. That should be the net debt reduction. And also, in terms of the CapEx, we'll guide to about 650, at best 700. As you can see, last year also, we came off substantially compared to the previous years. And as we know, most of the investment that we planned outside our Monroe or any other CapEx facilities are almost done. So we don't see too much. So we look at it as routine CapExes and stuff like that, about 650-700.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning, and thank you for taking my question. This is the first one on the Realtors launch that we have actually done. So just any early indications of how this launch has gone, and if you could also share the outlook for this particular drug for fiscal 2022, given that we are going to see launches in several parts, right? So can you help us, please?
Yes. Good morning. So far, we've had quite a few launches across multiple markets, particularly in Australia and in South Africa, and the initial result has been very promising. So the take-up and the interest has been very good. Furthermore, we had launches in the Ukraine and Uzbekistan, which has also gone well. And as for the rest of the year, of course, we've got multiple markets where we're looking at commercializing. So it's a product that we're keeping a close eye on, and we're pretty optimistic about.
Yeah. Robert, any market shares or anything to share? Like, we have seen Australia and South Africa for some time now, at least. And how is it tracking versus, say, management expectations?
So yes, of course, we have some share on the product. I mean, what I can say is at this point, we have come up ahead of expectations. So in general, we are quite optimistic in terms of the initial results.
Got it. Second question is again on that tiotropium product again in fiscal 2022. I've seen the kind of TAM that you have indicated, but just how large can this product be for us?
So yes, of course. Sorry.
So Shyam, this could be a big launch for Europe, right? I mean, $450 million product, first generic, and we should be launching anytime soon. So this could be quite substantial for Europe.
So Glenn, the approval has come through, is it? Or we're just waiting for and we're just getting things ready from a commercialization perspective?
It should come through any day. So we are preparing for commercialization.
Got it. Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. Glenn, one question for you on the out-licensing environment. In the past, we have heard due to COVID, environment is not that great, and we heard you that this year you are expecting one or two at least. So has the environment changed dramatically on the ground, and we are in discussion stage, active discussion stage with the couple of molecules you spoke about?
So Prakash, we wouldn't guide if we didn't have a certain level of confidence, right? I think the environment, it's more the assets than the environment. So both ISB 880 and 830, right, there is quite a lot of interest from a partnering perspective. So hopefully, we should be able to conclude at least one deal yet this year, right, on the out-licensing side, right? And I think more than the macro environment, it's the individual assets, right, and the data around that, which is exciting partners.
If something gets, say, you know, out-licensed, do you think your, you know, R&D spend should start going up given that, you know, it would see more color and you need to invest more?
No, on the contrary, Prakash, it will go down, right? Because the investment on those assets will go off to a partner, right? And we would not be spending on that. So I think our R&D spend, if we do these partnership deals, will further go down. Plus, of course, we'll get the upfront payment, right?
Yeah, so this 10 to 11% is not factoring in any, you know, it going down. So if it, if you conclude a deal, it will go down from 10 to 11% as per guidance.
Yeah, I mean, the expense will be 10 to 11. You will have an income on the other side, okay? So that expense.
Yeah, yeah, but as Glenn said, if but that happens...
Well, the net will be lower, yeah. The net will be lower, yes.
And my question is on the trend side, it will start going lower as the other person, other partner picks up the expense, or you are saying it just netting off?
No, so, so Prakash, 880 is an early stage asset, okay, right? It's a, it's an early stage asset. So while the expense will be, will go off to a partner, it may not be that substantial, right? And likewise, 830, we are currently not running any further clinical trials, right? So your overall expense will be lower, but it will be marginally lower, right? But as Mani said, net, if you, if you net out the upfront, it will be significantly low.
That's obvious. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And to your 10 to 12% overall growth guidance, how much you are pegging in for US?
So US
well,
is
for
not
the US. Sorry, go for it, Glenn.
Go for it. No, go ahead.
No, no. I was just going to say for the US, we're looking in around the double digits, around 10%.
Yeah, because your base last year was a little softer, given the competition that you saw on the particular dog product. So around 10% is what you're guiding?
Absolutely, yes. And for quarter one, we're on that track.
Perfect, great. And last one on other expenses. So you called out a couple of things. One was Forex expense, 30 crores higher freight cost, and there was one more 75
crores. Yeah, I said on the CSR front, yeah. So because there are some regulatory changes, no? So we have to spend a little more.
That
at
was
the
10
end
to
of the year.
15 crores, sir. I am talking about the 75 crore. You said something. I missed that.
No, no. I said both. These are the two things that I told. I also told that we are guiding to about a 27% other expenses. It was a little higher this quarter. Also, Q4, as a, normally when you look at it, is on the higher side for us. But the year is a better way to look at it. That's what I said. This year was substantially low. It was about 25.5, but I'm just guiding to you to say it will be about 27%, yeah.
Yeah, so because of the first 9 months, we saw substantial cost savings, and this was a spike. So overall, you maintain it's 27%.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the rest.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. Participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Kunal Randeria from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Hi, and good morning. So my first question is a follow-up on Spiriva. Can you tell us what kind of competition you expect as the year progresses in Europe? And secondly, is given the fact that some in-licensed product, would it be fair to assume that the margins could be lower than the company average?
So on the first point, it's hard to predict who are the other competitors, but we are first generic, right, as of now, right? And our view is this will be a good product for the company. On the margin front, it won't be lower than the company average for sure. So the margins are significantly better than that. So it'll add to both the European business as well as the overall margins of the company.
Right. Sure. That's helpful. Okay. My second question is around the US. So while you have given a growth guidance, I'm just wondering about if you can just talk a bit more on the kind of launches you expect as the year passes. Is it, I mean, maybe a bit more around, so for example, launch a QDEXI kind of product. So any kind of, you know, three or four launches we can expect along those kind of lines, similar competition launches, or just a bit more color on that. Glenn, you want to take that?
Yeah, sure. So I think, look, we have three launches in this quarter, all of them, one actually likely any one of these days, and two more coming up. They're all first generic kind of launches, so exciting products overall in this quarter. And then subsequent to that, in the full year, we expect about, I would say about eight to ten launches in the year, somewhere thereabouts. And, you know, at Glenmark, our philosophy has always been the products that we launch. First of all, we don't file products for the sake of filing numbers. So whatever we file, we make sure counts. And whatever we get approved, we launch. And so I think it's, the U.S. business seems to be looking up. Like last year, till the second quarter of last year, we had a challenging environment because of the price erosions around the derm assets. From third quarter, you know, you would have seen consistently, you know, quarter over quarter, the business is improving. And this quarter also with three launches should look better than the last.
Sure. And so just to clarify, 8 to 10 total launches or 8 to 10 per generic?
No, total launches.
Okay, perfect. Got it. Thank you. And all the time.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Seon Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you and good morning. Glenn, on European operations, can you just update on what's happening to their, you know, the Advair generic? We had some issues earlier on trademarks, etc. How's that product doing? Can you just update on that?
Sure. So we settled with the innovator, Sean, and we are currently selling the product on the market. It's doing quite well for us as we speak. But I think in addition to that, you know, with the tiotropium launch and the Ryaltris launch, we have a Beclo product on the market in Europe. So we have a quite a slew of respiratory products on the European market, and you will continue to see additional launches coming out of the respiratory franchise.
And you know, is it possible to share any market share, any key markets for generic Advair?
We can come back to you on the precise market share because it will vary from market to market, Shyam.
Okay.
I mean, we are selling it like right from Germany to various markets across Europe. We are selling this product. And it's doing well for us. We are also now expanding it to possibly other parts of the world.
Okay. And Glenn, a question on Ikonos. You know, what we have observed in the last many years is that, you know, we had limited success in terms of licensing or in terms of clinical trial. And also, it seems that the dependence on the bispecific platform is a lot high. I mean, I hope we succeed in what we are trying to do. In case you find certain difficulties going ahead, because we are spending almost $100 million every year on this programs, do you have some sort of a what are your views in case, let's say, you face some challenges with reaching the kind of clinical endpoints that you want to achieve or you are expecting to achieve? If you are not able to monetize it, what is the second option?
Yeah, so Shyam, two things, right? This year is very crucial for Ikonos. From two perspectives. One is from the partnering perspective, right, for 880 and or 830. And the second is 1342 and the BEAT platform, right, validating 1342 and the BEAT platform technology, right. So it's very, very crucial, right. Of course, 1442 is the BEAT 2.0 version, which is the next generation of technology which we've developed in I cannot. So I think these two assets will determine a lot of what happens to Ichnos in the future. So the clinical data on 1342, which is likely to come up in the next 6 to 8 months, is very crucial. And of course, the partnering aspect is very important for Ichnos, right, to determine the next steps for Ichnos.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Agarwal from GM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. Mani, this is one for you. On the other expenses, you've guided to 27% of revenues. You know, we used to be 29-30% a couple of years back. Since then, we've significantly reduced. We're guiding to a reduction in R&D spend. And when you look across the peer group, we've seen a significant reduction in other expenses, optimization of other expenses by most of the other peers. So why are we still being very conservative on this account in terms of, or are there no cost savings that we've been able to achieve, you know, with the digitalization and on where other measures that everyone's been able to achieve, you know, on cost?
Yeah, so Nitin, just to put it in a perspective, about 3-4 years ago, we were at almost 29-30%. Then 2 years back, we came down to 28. Last year is a bit of an aberration because the first quarter was pretty down. So it is about 25.5. I've guided to 27, fully baking in the fact that we're going to do a lot of work on the, we'll continue to do some work on the cost reduction, including digitalization. All these are on our radar. I would like to guide to 27 because I feel that's pretty doable, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ravi Agarwal for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you, moderator. We'll read the disclaimer before we end. The information, statements and analysis made in this presentation describing companies or its affiliates' objectives, projections and estimates are forward-looking statements. These statements are based on current expectations, forecasts and assumptions that are subject to risk and uncertainties which could cause actual outcomes and results to differ materially from these statements depending upon economic conditions, government policies, and other incidental factors. No representation or warranty either expressed or implied is provided in relation to this presentation. This presentation should not be regarded by recipients as a substitute for the exercise of their own judgment. The company undertakes no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. With this, we end the call today. A big thank you for all of you for joining us on the call today. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited, we conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect your line.